Jackson. Welcome to my podcast, The World Wars for Kids. Today, I'm going to tell you the tale of tanks from World War I. Okay, so we're just going to jump right into it. It's 1916, 2 years into the war, and it's a deadlock. For listeners that don't know what deadlock means, it means stuck. No one was making progress. Everyone was stuck in their trenches. Trenches are holes dug in the ground, and I know you may be thinking, how can you fight each other from inside a hole? Well, each side would shoot cannons at the other side, try to charge at them, and hopefully take the enemy's trench. Now, the reason tanks were invented was to break the deadlock. The reason tanks could break the deadlock was because when soldiers were charging across no man's land, which is the area between the trenches on both sides, they could hide behind the tanks. The tanks could also scare the enemy and fire at them. The person who thought up this idea was the British boss of the Navy. He was named Winston Churchill and would go on to have a big future. The first prototype tank looked like a big metal box, sitting on top of two treads, like a tractor. It was called Little Willie. At the same time, the British were developing another prototype that came to be called Mother. The Mother looked different from the Little Willie. Instead of having a big box sitting on top of small treads with no cannons, Mother had a small box sandwiched between two big treads with a cannon on each side. The reason it was called Mother is that it was the first version of the Mark I. The Mark I was the first tank to be used in combat by the British at the Battle of the Somme, September 15, 1916. More British lives were lost at the Battle of the Somme than any other battle in the war. Though it was ultimately a British victory with territorial gains and heavy casualties on the German side as well, tanks played a part in this and would be upgraded over the course of the war, like when you upgrade your player in a video game. The first battle where tanks played a major role in deciding the result was the Battle of Cambrai, November 20, 1917. At the start, many British generals were not supportive of using tanks in battle. As the war continued, they started to see how tanks could be used to save lives at the Battle of Cambrai. It's a great example of this. At Cambrai, an offensive line of 96,000 soldiers was supported by 387 tanks. The tanks overwhelmed the Germans with thousands surrendering on the first day. Casualties on both sides were less than a quarter than at the Battle of the Somme. In 1917, the French built the Renault FT-17, the first turreted tank in history. Turreted tanks had smaller treads than Britain's Mark series tanks, with a bigger box in the middle, and instead of having cannons on the side, there was a single rotating cannon on the top of the box in the middle. This design was better because the whole tank didn't have to be turned around in order to respond to the enemy's movement and fire in different directions. It was also lighter and could be more easily transported to the battlefield. The Renault was used by French in the battle in 1918 and was later used by the United States as well. This design was copied and improved multiple times and remains the most commonly used base design for tanks in the world to this day. Despite their successes in World War I, tanks had multiple flaws. First, tanks did not have good engines and often broke down on the battlefield, which continued into World War II. Second, some tanks got stuck trying to cross trenches or crossing uneven ground, making soldiers vulnerable to enemy fire. Finally, tanks were useless when defending against counterattacks. Even with these flaws, tanks were still highly successful in offensive battles. I find all of this so interesting because these machines are big, powerful, and cool. Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about these awesome machines, stay with us and we will continue our talk of tanks in World War II in the next episode. Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more, I got my information from two books. The first one is DK's Machines of War, The Definitive Visual History of Military Hardware. The second one is a book called Soldiers, A History of Men in Battle by John Keegan and Richard Holmes.